Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears off and running with you on another Getaway Friday. Friday, February the 12th, 2021, 16 and a half minutes past the hour here, and we've got a great day, great Friday ahead of you here on WWGH Radio. I'll be on with you through 11 o'clock, and then Pastor Steve Whitaker will be in with the pastor spot from 11:10 this morning until 12 p.m. And then from 12:10 to 1 p.m., we've got a very interesting show today. It will be the Exchange Club, but I'm pretty sure, like 90% sure at this point, that Michelle will be in here for that program. I think she said she could be in at noon today. And now, will anybody else show up? Maybe. I don't know. They're certainly invited, so we'll see how that all goes as the morning trickles on. That's usually how it is on these Fridays. We really don't know when we start off here in the morning, but by the time noon comes around or as the day goes on, we get a pretty good idea of what's going to happen as the day goes on. But regardless, I'll be here through 1 o'clock this afternoon. And you notice I didn't say irregardless. That's one of those pet peeves a lot of people have. I wonder where the word irregardless came from, which really I don't even think is a word. Because regardless is the word you would use. But I don't want to get too deep into that. Because as I was driving in this morning, I was thinking of a conversation that we had last week. And actually a couple conversations that we were having last week. And I thought this could open up a very interesting conversation this morning. Because obviously this show emanates out of Marion. And a lot of people listening are Marion listeners and have lived around this area for a long time, and we have a lot of interesting communities around us here in Marion, and there are a lot of things from years past that people remember and bring up and say, where did that go? What happened with that? And we never really get answers. Well, through the radio, through the power of radio, we're able to do that in a lot of ways. So I thought, this morning, let's just bring up some things that we remember. Now, these could be things, these could be events, these could be moments in time that just stick out in your brain, these could be people you knew in this area, a lot of things. The history around here is very rich, and I think that happens when you live in a town that has had a president, has had a Miss America, has had a Treasurer of the United States. When you live in a town that has all that, a lot of stuff goes on. And we had a lot of industry here. We had a lot of riots here. Now, one thing I wanted to start off talking about before I get to some of the things that I was talking about last week, which I want to talk about again. We always talk about the Tecumseh riots. Now, mostly this has to do with unions, which led to the end of Tecumseh here in Marion, the Tecumseh factory. Now, we all remember that very well, and I think that was taking place in the late 70s, early 80s, I think is when the Tecumseh issue was going on. But there was another riot that happened at a plant here. Now, in my mind, I want to say that it was at the Shovel, and it probably would have been, I'm going to say in the 50s, 50s or early 60s. I think there was a riot based on the Shovel having a union that led to a not-so-nice scene. I'm not sure if people were injured or not. I guess you would call it a riot. Now, here's how I know about it, because obviously I was not alive in that era. But there is a news report on an old reel-to-reel that I heard that talks about this riot, and I'm trying to remember if it was at the Shovel. To me, it would seem like it was at the Shovel. I know it was not at Tecumseh. Those riots came later, the 70s and 80s, or strikes or riots or whatever you want to call them. Now, does anybody remember if something like that went on at the Shovel, a riot? Crossing a picket line. Now, again, this would have been in the 50s or 60s. And I'm not sure even what the issue would have been. Now, obviously, I think it was resolved because the Shovel did stay here quite a bit after that. But I remember it hearing from that news report that it certainly was not a very pleasant situation. Now, also about this time, in the 50s and 60s, there was the robbery, and it was probably the most famous robbery there ever was downtown, and I believe, I want to say it was the National City Bank, but it could have been a different bank. But I know there was a robbery, and it happened in the middle of the night, and the robber, the person who had robbed the bank, I can't remember if they took a teller hostage. They might have. I remember they were on the roof of the bank, and all of the police officers were downtown. And again, I wasn't alive during any of this, but I have heard the stories, the old newsreels about it. So I want somebody, if you have any information on either one of these events, give me a buzz here, 740-383-9944. But I think they both would have happened in the 50s or early 60s. Does anybody remember either one of those events? Do you remember a strike that led to kind of a riot, a physical dispute here in Marion at a plant other than Tecumseh? And do you remember the robbery of a bank downtown that led to, I think, a teller being taken hostage and the robber being up on the rooftop of the bank and some other buildings downtown? And I know a lot of this took place in the middle of the night. Now, I don't know why it took place in the middle of the night, because I can't imagine that a teller would be there in the middle of the night. So I don't know if it started during the day and it ended with the robber trying to get out in the middle of the night. I really don't know the particulars of that story. But if anybody does, give me a buzz. Because, you know, a lot of people were working downtown at that time and probably remember these things going on. They were big news stories of that time. But as time passes, you really kind of lose the particulars of these stories. So does anybody remember a riot or a picket or an issue with a union that another plant had here in Marion other than Tecumseh? Does anybody remember that? Also, does anybody remember a bank robbery that would have happened downtown in the 50s or 60s that led to some criminal being up on rooftops? And, you know, for all I know, it not being all that long ago, the robber could still be alive, and I'm certain would probably be out of prison by now. I don't know even if the robber was taken into custody. I don't know if the robber was killed. I don't know if they were taken into custody. I don't know what happened to the teller who was there. I know there was some issue with the teller. But if somebody can straighten out some of these stories, I would be interested to hear about it. And I think our audience would be interested to hear about it, because they are significant moments in Marion's history. So give me a buzz if you remember either one of those stories, or any story that you remember that maybe we have not talked on the air about. 740-383-9944. The Tecumseh thing still to me is kind of puzzling, because that's such a complicated story as to why they left town. I'm not really sure, and I'm not sure if we've covered it on this program, why were the people at Tecumseh striking anyway? What was the big issue? Now, I think they had went on strike two separate times. which I think is what pushed it over the edge. But I think they had went on strike, and they maybe got what they wanted, but then they went on strike again, and not too long after that, Tecumseh said they were just going to close the plant because they didn't want to deal with that anymore, and that caused a lot of people to be out of work here in Marion, and I don't know what happened to those people's pensions, the time they put in. You know, I just think that was a horrible, horrible mess. Now, that was going on in the early 80s, so that's been even less time ago. So, does anybody remember anything about any of those events? Do you remember the Tecumseh plant leaving Marion and the labor dispute that led to that? Do you remember the labor dispute that was going on? And I want to say at the shovel, but I'm not completely sure. And the other thing is the bank robbery that went down in downtown Marion in the 50s and 60s. Now, the shovel's interesting because everybody to this day still talks about the Marion Power Shovel. Now, why is this? Because we had a lot of plants here. I mean, we have Whirlpool now. We have Yachio. We have we had Tecumseh during that era. Why was the shovel the place? Why was that a place where if you got a job, you had a lot of safety and you had a good job, and that was the place in Marion to get a job? Why was the shovel such a central part of this community where all these many years later, we still talk about it? We still bring up the shovel all the time. I hear it in conversations. There was a restaurant named after it over in that area. What was it about the Marion Power Shovel that attracted such attention and was such a blow to the community when it left? I think I remember former Mayor Jack Kellogg telling me, because I think he was either mayor or on city council when they left, totally, in the 80s, that there was some kind of dispute there about, I really don't even remember what the final dispute was about for why they left. I know Mayor Kellogg told me, but this has been many years ago, but there was something that they wanted that the city did not want to give, and I think at that point they were not operating at the full capacity that they once had operated at. So, there you go. There's the questions. Any information on the Marion Power Shovel, the Tecumseh riots, which led to the end of Tecumseh and Marion, or a robbery that went down in downtown Marion that apparently led to some pretty significant, interesting events. Give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you have any memories of any of this, give me a call. Would love to hear your thoughts on it. Now, some of the things that I brought up last week that had to do with Marion history, the big pants on the wall at depot sales. Nobody has ever called in to let us know what happened to the big pants. And everybody knows about the big pants. Everybody who called in remembers the big pants that were on the wall at depot sales. But where did they go? When the depot sales store closed up, where did the pants go? The large pants. Are they with the owner? Did they go to the Historical Society? Did they sell them as they were going out of business? I really don't know. What happened to the big pants that were on the wall at depot sales? Now, another one I thought of is something that has happened in recent time here. The Little Red Caboose ice cream shop, which was over on Center Street across from Garfield Park, I know there was a whole big story about that I'm trying to remember what the backstory was, that Smith Dairy actually owned the land that it sat on, and that's why it had to be moved once the Little Red Caboose closed. In any event, it was something like that. But somebody came and got the Little Red Caboose, and for a while, it ended up over on Fairground Street. I think in somebody's backyard, which is very strange, because the houses on Fairground Street really don't have a lot of room in their backyards. So I'm not sure how you could fit the Little Red Caboose, although it wasn't that big, in the backyard of a house. Now, does anybody know where the Little Red Caboose is today? Is it still over on Fairground Street? And has anybody done anything with it? I never really understood why somebody took it. I know that permission was given, but I don't know why it was taken and if anybody's done anything with it in the last 2 years since it was taken. So does anybody know what happened to the Little Red Caboose? Is it still over on Fairground Street? And what is it being used for? Now, you never know. The person who took the Little Red Caboose or who has possession of it might be listening right now and could fill us in on this. But does anybody have information on the old Little Red Caboose? 740-383-9944. Or the big pants on the wall at Depot Sales. I don't know why these big pants are so hard to locate. What is it about those pants that just, they left the stratosphere when Depot Sales closed up? It was one of those things that everybody in Marion knew about. We all knew about the big pants on the wall at Depot Sales. Now, where are they now? We don't know. Has anybody ever been able to locate them? If you have, let us know. So, there's that. Now, another one. Now, this is a tricky one, because I don't even know if these still exist. But, as many of us know, the story of Nan Britton and President Harding has now been pretty much proven to be true, because we now know that there was a child produced from that relationship. Elizabeth Ann was President Harding's daughter. Now, we know that there were letters exchanged between Nan Britton and President Harding. Now, I think Nan Britton said in her book that she burned the letters, or that President Harding had burned the letters. I don't know, but that the letters had been gotten rid of. Well, years later, many years later, there was somebody going around Marion saying that they had found these letters, that they had found the letters that President Harding had written to Nan Britton. But they've never showed up anywhere. So does anybody know anything about the letters that Nan Britton would have written to President Harding that were allegedly here in the Marion community somewhere for several years, but have never turned up? The letters have never turned up. And, you know, with stuff like this, it might have went out in the garbage at some point. It's hard to say. So, those are a lot of things. And if you have something that's on your mind of interest in that nature, give us a buzz, because I think it's interesting to try to learn about these things. I think that's one of the most, the local history is fun, and sometimes it's the littler local history. You know, it's not the big stuff. It's the pants on the wall at Depot Sales. It's the robbery that happened downtown. It's the fights that went on in these unions. It's things like that we really remember, because we were all on the inside of this. A lot of people worked at Tecumseh. A lot of people worked at the Shovel. A lot of people worked downtown, so they remember the robbery, and of course they used the bank. A lot of people shopped at Depot Sales, so they remember the big pants. Does anybody remember any of this stuff? Does anybody remember any of it or have anything they can add to this conversation? Because I'd be interested to hear from you. Give me a call here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Do you have any memories of the big pants, the Nan Britton letters, the robbery, the bank robbery that went on downtown, the labor disputes between management and labor that led to some plants leaving Marion? Why do you think that there is always a dispute? I'm sure a lot of people out there listening have worked in factories where there were unions. Why was there always a dispute between management and labor? What were the problems that could not be solved? What led to these strikes? And what led to people crossing picket lines and fights breaking out that led to damaged property, that led to businesses leaving town? What was it that was going on in these businesses that was causing such a big, big problem? It's unfortunate that it took place because it led to a lot of people without jobs. But what were the issues? Why could they not be worked through? Why did it have to lead to a strike? Why could nobody budge? Why could nobody compromise? I was reading this morning that buffets, as of, I think, 11:59 last night, are allowed to open back up today. Now, I guess you can go to a buffet, a self-serve restaurant, as long as you wear a mask up to the buffet. Which that's interesting, to a certain extent. Do you think this is a good idea? Do you think it's good to open up the buffets and allow people to go up and get the food? Apparently, it's almost been a year. I think this was first enacted back in March of 2020. I don't know. It's strange because clearly the majority of people have not been vaccinated, and people love buffets because they can eat like crazy. I guess it's good that you can wear a mask up to the buffet and get your food. That probably would help with spreading a virus. But do you think people are going to wear the masks up there? Is somebody going to be there policing that? Because my guess would be if people don't wear the masks up there, they're probably just going to shut it down again as quickly as it reopened. That's one thing I've noticed during this pandemic, is that when you give people an inch, when people complain and say, we want the buffets open, we want the buffets open, well, when you do it and then you give them a rule and say, okay, we will open them, but you got to wear masks up to the buffet, people will go in and not wear the masks. Well, I don't know. Is the health department going to stop or step in there? Are the business owners going to step in there? Is anybody going to step in there? What's going to happen with that? I think it'll be interesting, but it starts today. The buffets will be back open. You know, most of the buffets that I have seen have completely closed down. So a lot of the buffets that were with us in March of 2020 are no longer there. So very few will be opening back up, as opposed to all that closed down back in March of 2020. Do you think we're starting to get too lax with this virus? Now, the numbers are coming down quite a bit, which is good. And I don't know why that is. I always felt that the numbers were going to go down after the holidays, because there was really no reason for people to get together in January, and really no reason for people to get together in February. It was tough back in the fall because you had school, you had fall sports, you had Christmas, you had Thanksgiving, you had New Year's, you had Halloween. These were things that people got together for and went outside, and I think it caused a big problem. But there's nothing going on in January or February. It's cold. People stay in. So I don't think you have that same type of problem. Any thoughts on the buffets reopening today? Love to hear your thoughts. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I don't even know if Marion has a buffet left. You know, we used to have all kinds of buffets. Buffets were very popular here. We had two Ponderosas operating at one time. We had one on 95, and we had one on Delaware Avenue. We had Smorgasbord, which was the local buffet, which was here forever. And we had, was there another buffet that we had here in town? I know we had those three that all operated at one in the same time. Can anybody else remember of a buffet that was operating here in town? You know, I remember this. I remember years ago that Perkins had, Michael's. Michael's had a buffet. Michael's Restaurant, which is now closed for many years. But they had a buffet that you could get. I think it was just a lunch buffet, though. Does anybody remember if Michael's buffet was open all day? I know it was a lunch buffet, and I know the beef and noodles were a big deal at Michael's, but I can't remember if their buffet was open all day or not. But they were a buffet restaurant. And as I say, even for a time, Perkins had a buffet. Now, it was a little buffet, and I think you would probably more refer to it as a salad bar. I think it was just a place where you went up and got your salad and dressing, but that was there for a little while. They used to wheel that out. So that probably was not anything you would consider a buffet, but certainly Smorgasbord was a full buffet. Both Ponderosas were full buffets. And Smorgasbord was a full buffet. So my question to you this morning is, why did these buffets all go by the wayside? Now, all these went by the wayside long before the pandemic. And then we got Ryan's here in town. Now, I think that kind of led to the end of Ponderosa. Because when Ryan's came in, Ponderosa did not last long after that. Now, they'd already closed the Delaware Avenue location by that point. So then Ryan's opened up on Mount Vernon Avenue, which led the Ponderosa on Mount Vernon Avenue to close. And Smorgasbord had already been closed a long time by that point. And then Ryan's hung in there for quite a few years, and then it went by the wayside. And then it was closed for, what, a year or two? Then we got Ponderosa in the Ryan's building, which that lasted just about a year. Couldn't have been much more than that. Does anybody have any remembrances of Ponderosa when it was in the Ryan's location? You know, I'll tell you, that was such a big deal when they opened, because Marion had not had a buffet for a long, long time, because when Ryan's closed, there were no buffets left. So when Ponderosa opened up in that building, people were ready to go to the buffet again, and that business was so busy for the first probably month and a half that they were opened, and then it took a tumble that really never recovered. And that was unfortunate, because I think what happened was, in the beginning, they were not fully staffed, so a lot of people came in, and their first experience there was not good, and then they never went back. So by the time they had the staff, and by the time they had the food figured out, people were already not going back because they'd had a bad first experience. And that's a shame when that happens to a business. Did anybody have that experience at the Ponderosa here in Marion when it was way out in the Meyer parking lot? I remember hearing that story over and over again, and I think it did kind of lead to their demise. I'm not sure what led to Ryan's demise. It was popular for a long time. It always seemed like people were going there, but then it just kind of went down. I'll tell you, the one of the problems at Ryan's was their ice cream machine. It seemed like their ice cream machine was always broken. You would go over there and you would pull that lever to get the type of a soft serve ice cream that you would want, and it would come out like soup. Does anybody remember this? I don't know why that was. I don't know if that machine was overheating or what was going on. It kind of reminds me of some of the fast food places around here that serve ice cream. They just, for some reason, it just doesn't, the ice cream machines don't work. It's very hard to get a milkshake. It's very hard to get a Blizzard or whatever you would call it, Flurry, Freddy. They have a lot of different names. Sundays, anything that involves ice cream at some of these fast food places becomes very difficult, and they always say that the machine is overheating or it's down for maintenance or it's being cleaned. I don't know how often you have to clean these ice cream machines. It's just a weird affect when you go to these fast food places. Well, I'll tell you, we are very quiet this morning. Not one call so far. 47 and a half minutes into the program, and we have so many topics on the table this morning. We're talking about the big pants at the depot. We're talking about the robbery downtown that took place in the 50s. We're talking about the plant riots that took place in Marion with labor, Tecumseh, the shovel. We're talking about fast food places. We're talking about buffets, which are allowed to open up again. And nobody has an opinion. Everybody must be awful shy this morning. But the phone lines will remain open. 740-383-9944. Either we're all shy or we just don't know what's going on. We just don't know what happened to any of this stuff. You know, there is a little distance now. People used to talk. People used to talk to each other, and that's how you would figure out a lot of this stuff. You would talk to each other, and somebody would say, oh, do you remember when this happened? Do you remember when that happened? Oh, that's where that went. That's how that turned up. But I don't know if people do that tomorrow or anymore. People don't get together. People don't sit and talk and learn about things. How much stuff did we learn by just sitting with each other, talking, and something would come up and you'd say, oh yeah, I remember that. I remember when that happened. Now, we don't really do that so much. I'm not sure why we don't do that, but we don't. Now, as near as I can tell, the phone line is working. I do hear a dial tone. So, we'll see if anybody calls in the next 10 minutes on any of these subjects, or as I said, you can add a subject of your own. If there's something you want to bring up that you remember from your childhood, early adulthood, let me know. You know, I always hear a lot of people talking about the Halloween parades that used to go on here in Marion. I remember people talking about when Santa Claus used to be flown into the Southland Mall by helicopter. I don't think I've ever seen any pictures of either of those events, and I'm not sure when they stopped doing those things, but does anybody remember those? Does anybody remember the Halloween parades that used to go on in Marion? Does anybody remember when Santa Claus was flown in by helicopter to the Southland Mall every year? That used to be a big thing. I've heard a lot of people talk about it, but I've never really seen pictures or anything of it. Did it just go by the wayside? Is it a bygone era that nobody really remembers or thinks about? I remember, you know, when I was young, I remember one thing there used to be a lot of in Marion was banks. There were banks everywhere. Of course, Fayey Bank has always been here. And there was a bank at that time called Savings of America, and I think they had three branches in town. And we had the National City Bank, and we had the Marion Bank, and I think they had two locations. Just seems like we had a lot of banks. And I think we had First Citizens and Fifth Third. Always a lot of banks in Marion. Must be a lot of money in here floating around this community from somewhere. I remember there was a lot of banks, and we always have had a fair amount of restaurants, fair amount of stores as well. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah. The great caboose, Scott, is sitting over there on Fairground Street in that trucking place. It's sitting in the back of that trucking place there on Fairground Street before you get to what used to be an old car wash years ago.
Oh, so it is still on Fairground Street.
Yes, it's back in there. There's a church there, Victory Center or whatever it is, and you go west there, and it's that trucking place back in there. It's been sitting back in there for 2 or 3 years.
Oh, so I know where Victory Center is, and I know where that old car wash is that's been abandoned for years. So where's the Red Caboose at in a junction to those?
It's between those two places on the same side of the road. There's a trucking place back in there where they work on trucks and tow at the towing place. It's been sitting back in there for several years since it's been sitting there ever since they moved it off of East Center Street there by the park.
So you can see it from the road if you drive down Fairground.
Yeah, you can see it from the road.
Now, does anybody know what they're doing with it back there?
I don't think they're doing anything with it. Some guy bought it, and he was moving it, and it got impounded years ago. He was moving it down Madison Avenue, and he tore some wires down because he didn't have proper permits or something, and it ended up back there at that trucking place back in there, and it's been sitting back there ever since.
Oh, so the trucking place did not buy it?
No. I don't really know who owns it, but it's just sitting back there, just kind of falling down.
Now, how in the world were they trying to move this thing?
Well, they had on a flatbed trailer or something trying to move it, and they tore some cable lines down or telephone lines down or something there on Madison Avenue going towards the railroad tracks, and it got impounded at that trucking place, and it's been there ever since.
So it's basically just in the impound yard now.
Yes, been there for several years now, and Marge Hazlett owned that at one time.
Yeah, for a little bit she did. I don't know why. I wonder why the people who owned it, even though they had some issues taking it over there, I wonder why they've never come back to get it in 2 years.
That I don't know. I don't know the story behind it.
Well, that's interesting. Now, do you remember any of the events in downtown Marion? Do you remember the strikes or the bank robbery that went on down there?
I remember Tecumseh when they had their strikes back in the early 1980s.
Now, do you remember what that was all about?
Well, I think I didn't work there at the time, but I think it was over wages and benefits and stuff.
And then Tecumseh just pulled out.
Yeah, after that, they just kind of folded up.
Folded up.
And then there was a diaper place in there for a while after that.
Now, is the plant still there?
No, it's all torn down now.
Yeah. So what is over in that area now?
Well, where the plant was, I don't think there's anything there right now on Leader Street. It's just kind of an empty lot right in there.
Huh. That's interesting because, you know, that was such a, I don't know how many people they employed, but that was a fairly decent employer here in town.
Yeah, there were several people that worked there.
Yeah, it's a shame. Well, hey, I appreciate the information on the little red caboose.
But that's about all I can tell you, Scott. Maybe somebody else has more information on it, but I think it's kind of it went by the wayside. It's just sitting there, just deteriorating. So,
well, that's interesting. Well, thank you.
My brother-in-law built that years ago.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, Bob Johnston.
Now, what year was that built?
It would have been in the late 1970s.
So it's really not all that old a building.
No, it isn't. It's not all that old a building. It would have been built in the late 1970s.
Now, why do you think it never did well? I mean, it seemed like it always had a lot of different owners. It would be closed for a period of time. I mean, Jersey has always done well. Dairy Queen's done well. It just seems like they could never keep that place open.
I don't know why. I knew the last two owners that had it, and they just seemed like they couldn't make a go of it. But
I guess that's the food business.
Well, they wanted to move it over in Mrs. Hayes that wanted to move it over in Garfield Park. So it'd be in the park room when they had the ball game and stuff, but something happened. They wouldn't let her move it into the park.
Huh. That's interesting. Well, I appreciate all the information. Thanks for calling.
All right. You have a good day, Scott.
You too. Bye-bye.
Well, there we go. There's some information on the Little Red Caboose. Now, see, I had not heard that. Had anybody heard that the person buying the Little Red Caboose was moving it from center to wherever they were taking it, and they were going down Madison Avenue there and ended up tearing down some lines? So the Little Red Caboose ended up impounded at this trucking place on Fairground there between the old car wash and Victory Center. That's interesting. I had not heard that. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, I have a question. Is there any way that you could ask for people that shovel snow? Because I know Monday we're supposed to get a big snow, maybe Tuesday and then Thursday. And I'd like somebody to shovel like the sidewalk so people can walk down it and not in the road.
Sure. Well, so you need some show snoveled when the snow comes on Monday.
Yeah, or I didn't know whether, like, if there's a snow, you could advertise if three or four people called in, if you could just advertise their numbers that day. I'm going to write them down because I can't listen all day because I have a day sleeper and I can't play the radio like I used to.
Right.
And I would like for, if people like on Tradio, they used to call in and have numbers to shovel.
Now, do you live within the city limits?
Yeah, it's in the city.
Okay, it's in the city, and do you have, like, I'm not sure what people charge for that. What have people charged for that in the past?
I don't know, because the person that did it, he no longer lives here, and then, so I'm having to pay somebody to do it, the sidewalks, especially, because I don't know if kids, I haven't noticed them walking down, but when people walk down the sidewalk, they're having, because it's so high, they have to walk out in the road.
Oh, okay.
And I'm too old to get out there and do it now, so.
Well, let's see if we can find somebody. Hey, keep listening, and thanks for calling.
Okay, if you had the number, could you keep the numbers there maybe and repeat them? If we have like a real bad snow coming in, if there's no snow, there's no use to, say them.
Yeah. If we get some numbers build up here, I will read them on Monday.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Well, there you go. There's a need. If anybody shovels snow here in Marion, I don't know, could be a company, I guess, could be a kid, could be just somebody who wants to make some extra money. If you're a snow shoveler, it'd be in the city limits. Give us a call, 740-383-9944. There are a lot of people out there who are not interested in shoveling snow anymore because of age and stage of their life. Maybe they just don't want to shovel snow. If you are interested in shoveling snow in the Marion area during the winter of 2021, give us a buzz, 740-383-9944, and there will be people out there who will certainly be interested. We're going to break for 15 minutes. Think about it. Think about all the things we've been talking about. And we'll come back in 15 minutes and talk more. You on the toll-free line, 740-383-9944.
The Bloomingdale's department store, the salesman said, "You know, you look like the late Abe Vigoda." "Oh, really? Well, then I think I'll buy